Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Hopefully, doing well. See, I open up with this map. And today's activities, we're going to go from resurrection to ascension. And if you look up at the top of the map, is our center of activity today, there at the Garden Tomb. And that most likely the disciples who we'll be talking about. Maybe still staying down around where the upper room is. Not really exactly sure. That's way down at the bottom of the city there. So I'll start with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Oh, especially for this day, Lord, that we think back to your resurrection and what you accomplished for our good. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much that we're going to spend eternity with you. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Well, today, keeping with the thought of just Peter, I won't, I've been mainly concentrating on the activities of him during this period. I kind of started this way with Jesus calling him in a whole period of time leading up to this point. Show that Peter had his growing pains, and I especially like today's message of the period of time when remember Peter was had just denied him, and the last time he saw the Lord before his crucifixion, he was probably feeling really down about himself. So we pick it up with Resurrection Day, and what a glorious day that was. And so starting in John, mostly in John today, John 20 and 21. John 20, verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter. Now this is Mary Magdalene. And to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. And Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, came first to the sepulchre. I guess Peter running wasn't one of Peter's attributes. And in stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying yet wet. Went he not in? Gotta love how Hebrew gets translated into English sometimes. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I'll stop here just for a second. Probably won't even think much about that little line there at the end, but wrapped together in a place by itself. But believe it or not, there's a tradition in wealthier households in the Middle East that when the servants are around and a master is having dinner, he will be eating, and if he takes his napkin that he's using and just tosses it aside and leaves, the servants know that he's done and that they can clean up. If he folds it and places it off to the side, it means that he'll be back. So I thought that, that's John made note of that, and I'm sure that most Jews understood what that meant. So I thought that's my prophecy moment for today, that Jesus will be back, and that's his promise that he will. Verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, even though he's told them how many times now? Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And I'll pick up here at just comment a little bit about it's also some of this is noted in Luke 24:12. We see Peter is mentioned again. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And then in Mark 16:6, is where Mary doesn't know at first. Wait a minute, where am I at? Oh yeah, no, this is the angel. And Mary, and this is when the women came to the sepulchre and they saw the angels. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him." This is when Mary and the other Mary and the other ladies actually went back to tell the disciples, "Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, and he said unto you." So I put this in here at this point, even actually it happened before John 22 through 12, 10, because to make note that Peter is going to meet Jesus at Galilee, and that's where I'm going to pick up the story. Is if you remember correctly, the Peter decides at this point, and he still doesn't know what's going on, that he's going to go fishing. So in John 21:3, we see where we pick up Peter again. And Simon Peter said unto them, "I go a fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. At this point, most of them know that they've already that he's risen, and I'm not going through the whole scenario of when he appeared with some of the other folks, mainly concentrating on Peter. Continuing on in verse 4, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." Some say that it's probably, morning dew, the fog, couldn't really see him from there. But it's interesting that some people speculate as to why they didn't recognize him. A lot of people say it's because of all the things that were done to him during the crucifixion. They tore out his beard. He had a lot of scar tissue. Don't really know why they couldn't really always tell it was him, but they knew it was him by his voice and by his actions. And we're going to see that again here. Moving on in verse 5. "And Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No, no, children or sirs." Never quite figured out that verse either. "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes." Well, this, if you remember back long, quite a while ago, the first time that Peter and Jesus, Jesus had said the same thing, and they found fish. So at this point, Peter is pretty sure who he is, just by this act. So in verse 7 here, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea." Fishing is very wet. I'm not surprised that maybe since it's all guys out there and there's nobody around, that they actually do it in the nude to save their clothes from getting all wet. "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread." Jesus was making them breakfast. "And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have caught now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And everybody that I've talked to, and every sermon I've ever heard on this verse, they've been trying to figure out why he mentioned 153, and still haven't heard a good explanation for it. Maybe someday we can ask the Lord, or Peter, why they pointed out how many there were. "And for there were so many, yet was not the net broken." Now this to me is symbolic that if you remember the last time that Peter did this, the net actually broke, and this time it didn't. Now, I think it's a symbolic of the fact that for all that come into the kingdom of God will be held together, and they won't be released. How's the word? In other words, once saved, always saved. Verse 12. And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. See, again, they can't recognize him, but they know it's him. And it's interesting, after his resurrection, that he was so different looking in some way that they didn't recognize him. And Jesus then cometh and taking bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Like I said, I didn't go through the other times. I'm just concentrating on Peter this trip. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. And this is the part I want to concentrate on today, is that Peter, I remember he denied Christ three times, and this is where Jesus is going to kind of bring him to the point of realizing that he's going to forgive him, but that he needs to do what, from now on, what Jesus tells him to do, I think is the way to look at it. But I want to point out that in our language, love is a word that's used for many different kinds of love, love for a friend, or love for your a child, or love for your wife. They're all different levels of love, different kinds of love. In this particular case, when Jesus says, "Son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" What Jesus is saying is in Greek, it's called agape love, which is a divine love. It's a pure love, meaning that you're willing to die for that person, kind of love. The kind of love you would have for your wife, your children, type of love. And but when Peter responds back, you notice that I love thee. The love he's used is more like, it's a lesser form, it's called phileo, which is like, yeah, I admire you, like a friendly love. And in verse 16, he saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. Again, this verse, Jesus again uses the word agape, and Peter replies with phileo. Well, the next verse, and he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And this time I'll point out that Jesus used the lesser form of love, meaning the phileo. And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? In other words, he said that now all of a sudden he changed his tone. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. And I think this is basically putting Peter on the carpet to say, you know, I'm sending you forth, I'm leaving, and that I expect you to follow my lead and love me with all your heart and with all your soul and all your might. Important lesson for all of us. And moving on to verse 18, Jesus has this, Jesus speaking, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou wert old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee, whether thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Still talking to the to Peter, to remind him that life is going to be tough, I'm sending you forth, and you're going to. I expect you to love me to the end. In other words, verse 20, And Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And I think this is a pivotal verse for Peter. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? So John said, was the one speaking in 20, who was a beloved one. And Peter said, is also curious. And Jesus comes back and says unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to me, thee? Follow thou me. I think they were both talking about Judas and wanted to know what was made of him. And Jesus basically just said, that's not your concern. You do what I say, and that you follow me. Don't concern yourself with that. Verse 23. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Remember, this is John writing this. So he's signifying that he's the one who wrote this and he's the one who witnessed this. It is true. And verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And that was the end of John. And I just have this particular scene and a few other in Mark about the ascension. So in Mark 16:19, we see that the Lord. We left the Galilee area, and now we're back down in Jerusalem. Jesus went on to be with them another 40 days or so. Total from the resurrection, and now we're into the period where they're going to be heading towards Bethany. And I'll just bring the map back over here for a second. So most of this was way out of this picture, up at the Sea of Galilee. So they came back down here, and Jesus is going to lead them. Don't know what route he took, but you see Bethany is way over on the right of this map area, and you'll see here in a minute a verse that indicates that he's going to go towards Bethany. Give you an idea about where they're heading. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That was Mark's ending of his book. And then Luke, we have in verse 24:50, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So that's pretty much the end of Peter before Pentecost. And we'll pick up Peter at Pentecost starting tomorrow. And we're going to see a changed Peter. I think this whole episode, the point of it was to point out that that whole incident with the denial and what Jesus told him at the seashore is what converted Peter. And he becomes quite the evangelist after this point. So I think we all go through a period of time where maybe we're not as strong as we should be, but that Jesus, in his own unique way, brings us back into the fold. And I know that was definitely true for me. So that's all I have for today. I'll end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time in your word, and for the promises you kept that you will return. And we see that day approaching, Lord, and looking forward to that day. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You all have a great day, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.